Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming to the session. Today we're talking about Inside the Windows Insider Program. I'm Bill. I'm the Director of Program Management for the Operating System Fundamentals team and the Windows Insider Program owner, all up. And just so you know, like everyone sort of has an idea of what I do at Microsoft. I and my team are responsible for the compatibility of the operating system, the performance, reliability, battery life, the process of updating bits to go from a low level to Windows 10 or the latest release of Windows 10, plus everything to do with the Insider program, including the systems that we use to take builds from internally and send them out to Insider machines across the world. As well as all the feedback mechanisms in the way back. One of the things that... Actually, I'll sort of jump in. I'll talk a little bit about the history of how we got here and talk a little bit more about how you, as our customers, can leverage this program for your benefit so that we're mutually building the right products and we build better products together. So, in the beginning... the first time we released the Windows Insider program was on September 30. My apologies, the dates are the wrong way around. This deck was from the United States. September 30, 2014, over 2 years ago. And, we announced it on that day. The next day, we sent the first preview build out to the world. It was the first preview build of Windows 10. But behind the scenes, on February 9, 2014, I stood up in front of the leadership of the Windows and Devices Group, which basically had the whole crew there, and I basically pitched this crazy-ass idea around, what we should be doing is we should be giving the bits out to our constituents as quickly as possible as we're developing them. And it wasn't super crazy, but it was atypical for the time. After the requisite amount of grilling, about an hour or so of grilling and questions and how would this all work and how would we think about disclosure in this world and wow, this is different, we've never really engineered products in this way before, we got the green light to move forward. And then in May of 2014, we presented the first set of plans around what we wanted to build, the systems that automatically take code that we're in the process of building nowadays on a weekly basis and send it out to the world, and quite literally to the world, propagated across a massive number of CDNs, 20-plus languages, the whole shebang. I think I've got probably the infamous stat against me of, the person in Microsoft that's released more versions of Windows than anybody else. It's probably numbering somewhere in the hundreds of versions of Windows because we've shipped that many builds since 2014. And then on September 21st, 2014, the original plan for this program, first of all, we were going to call it a preview program. And we had capped it at 400,000 people. So then we presented these plans back to the leadership. For those of you who don't know who Terry Myerson is the executive vice president for all of Windows and devices. He owns pretty much all of the operating systems, the Surface products, HoloLens, pretty much, a big chunk of what is called Windows. And Terry basically sort of said, you guys are crazy. 400,000 is not enough. Give it to everybody. And we were like, oh, okay, thank you. Good feedback. And we went back to our offices and just freaked out for a little while because we had a good 10 days to basically sort of like take code out of the system because we had all these ideas around, we're coming up to the limit and what do we do for people once we've gone beyond the limit of the number of people that we want to be part of this program. And it was also in that meeting we decided to rename the program into the Windows Insider program and generalize all of our pre-release activities around this idea and this concept. Yeah, it was also funny. That week, I sent a bunch of panicked emails to Scott Guthrie. Luckily, we built all this stuff based on Azure and, we built it in a way where we could scale it. So Scott graciously had his team and a number of folks help us out and basically, go over all the code, spin up a whole bunch of additional capacity in our cloud so that when we went live 10 days later, there wasn't a problem. It wasn't a hiccup with the system. So, that was sort of the short history of how this thing, the genesis of this thing sort of happened. Now, it's also worthwhile to sort of get a bit of an understanding of who's part of this constituency. I'll build this out. We recently did a survey. Actually, one of the things I should say is we started off with the idea that 400,000 people was what the data science people were telling me. That's all you need. With 400,000 people as part of this program, you've got statistically significant feedback, you've got the right signals to be able to make decisions about the product and the overall doneness, quality, and specific, like user-driven feedback around the product. We hit 400,000 the first day, and then we kept going. Nowadays, we're north of 7 million people running, people that are registered as part of the Windows Insider program. It's quite good to see. And then what we found was that when we went and surveyed them, about 400,000 people came back, filled out the survey, and this is what they told us. 46% are in IT. Substantial portions of people in small business, large business. We have lots and lots of students, and a number of those students are actually high school students. Lots of millennials giving us feedback about these products, but also a lot of folks like the people in this room, which help us build the right product for you. We also have seen that the Windows Insiders as a group have been responsible for tens of millions of installs of Windows 10. So for those of you who don't know the current stats, we are north of 400 million devices running Windows 10 in the world today. This constituency, it's a group of people that know a lot about this product and are part of the journey. And that's really one of the things that we want to achieve. For us, this isn't just people kicking the tires. These are we want Windows Insiders, and hopefully many of you are Windows Insiders, to help us guide the program and help us guide the product that we're building. And there's been a number of things that we've changed in Windows because of Windows Insiders. And there's some satisfaction metrics on there as well. So, why? What was the reason for doing this? Well, we've done a long history of beta programs. Well, that doesn't really cut it as a good reason to do this. A more interesting way to look at this is the complexity of the challenge we have with Windows. As the guy on point but online for compat of the operating system, it's an interesting software engineering challenge. We have, and these stats are a little bit older now, we should probably go away and update them a little bit more, but probably 12 months ago there was 8.5 million unique devices. And that number is the number of smart card readers or interesting peripherals or other pieces of technology that people plug into Windows. Well, that number is somewhere north of 8.5 million. That's huge, right? This is a big part of what we believe we need to do as Windows. We want to be extensive. We want to be able to drive different scenarios and provide choice and capabilities to all of our users and allow OEMs to build different kinds of machines. So, yes, of course, 8.5 million devices. Here's another stat. North of 20 million apps. Right? think about it. Think about how many Win32 apps there are in the world. How many, and this doesn't account for internal apps that you guys might be running in your environments, stuff that you've built over the years on .NET and FoxPro and et cetera, et cetera. And then we've got a bunch of different configuration options. If I look around the room, I'm already seeing probably at least 20 different kinds of PCs. Right, so those PCs are a different combination of hardware and software. You multiply those things out, and then you get into these astronomical numbers around, wow, okay, if you had to do hardcore testing of all of those configurations, you just physically couldn't do it. You know, my data science friends will point out to me that, Bill, yes, that's fine, but that these things do cluster in the world because there are at least, you know, I don't know, probably five Surface Pro 4s that I can see in front of me right now. So, and they tend to, you know, be unique. But, so, and like for us, when we think about the product we're building, and the complexity of the product and the quality we want to achieve with this product, the Insider program is, you know, incredibly valuable for, you know, giving us that level of feedback and that level of making sure that the stuff is right. Something you really just couldn't do with an internal test pass, so to speak. But the biggest thing, the biggest reason why we stood up this program, and the biggest reason I'd say to you all to be part of the Windows Insider program is around the latency of the products we built. We had a history of delivering products where when we first debuted them to the world, it was kind of too late. So, you know, like, you know, picture tells a thousand words. Let's go into the pictures here. So, you know, it's interesting to sort of look back historically around the amount of time we took building products when we first released them to the world and, you know, how much opportunity people had to give us feedback on those products. I'm an engineer. I'm an engineer in WDG. So for me, the releases of Windows 10 tend to be build numbers versus, you know, creators update and all of these marketing-ish terms, and I'm sure the marketing folks in the room will be upset with me about that. But anyway, 10.240 was the build of Windows that we shipped in July of 2015. It was the initial version of Windows 10. So let's go back, let's look at Windows 7 here. So Windows 7, we had almost 800 days of engineering work before we, you know, sent a beta to the world. And then we, you know, we did two public previews, two betas. And then we had, you know, a short period of time, well, about 100 days or so, between the point of time where we said, okay, these are the final bits, to the point where all of our OEM partners had done all their work to be able to roll out machines and, you know, get drivers ready and all that kind of stuff. Windows 8, similar kind of picture, longer time frame. 800 days of engineering, and then three public previews, and then another long period. Now, you look at these sort of time periods here, and you sort of think, hold on. The analogy I drive here is that, look, we've, you know, by 800 days of engineering, it's kind of like I've built a building, I've poured all the concrete, I've actually, the building is standing, I've attached all the windows, we're starting to fit out the internals inside the building, and, you know, the person that owns the building comes back and sort of says, well, I want it to be, you know, 30 floors smaller. The analogy is, you know, wow, that thing was really, really baked and locked down. The software infrastructure was in place. For us to start making big changes, it was hard to entertain that stuff. That was some of the challenges we had with these pre-releases. Windows 8.1, shorter time frame, but if you look at the timescales, it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's, you know, long period of time of developing the thing, and then short periods of time, you know, small amounts of preview, feedback periods, a little bit of stuff we could do, but then the product is kind of baked. In comes Windows 10, the first release of Windows 10. Now, less than 200 days from the time we started to the time we did the first public preview. Now, the main reason why we spent 200 days there was we had to build these systems to power the Insider program. You know, we had to sort of stand up a feedback pipe and like a completely automated flighting system that would take builds coming out of our build system and propagate them all the way up to Windows Update in one fell swoop. So, and what we did with Windows 10 with the first release, we did 15 public PC previews and 7 mobile previews before launch. The November update, different picture completely. We pretty much started straight away. And this is the pattern that we have now. We go as quickly as we can. Once a release is done, we sort of get people on the next train, insiders on the next train as soon as possible. The November update, it was way shorter. So 6 public previews, 6 mobile previews there. This is what people refer to as the anniversary update. 29 public previews and 28 mobile previews. The reason why it took us a little while to get started there was because that was December, and we, like many large organizations, have blackout periods we need to sort of deal with. And for the latest one, I'm not sure if those numbers are completely correct. But anyway, up until that point in time that we snapped this slide, I think the numbers are way higher now. We go really quick. And what this is essentially saying is, every one of those releases is an opportunity for people to tell us what's going on with the product, an opportunity for us to work with that feedback, understand what it means, and then iterate and ensure that we're building the right product. Or, in some instances, not build those components or not build that feature or functionality. The concept, our philosophy around, we're going to plan out a whole bunch of things and build them, we're kind of challenging that a bit, because what we want to do, what we want to ensure we're doing, is we build the right products. We don't want to put legacy into the product that no one is going to use or that isn't working correctly. These are sort of a big deal for us, and it's sort of changing the way we as an engineering team think. Behind the scenes, I mentioned that this talk is inside the Insider program. So let's talk a little bit about what our point of view is and how things work internally. We have this notion of Windows as a service. We're running a service. One of the things a lot of people don't realize is that every Thursday, 20 of the engineering directors on the Windows devices team get together for 90 minutes in the morning, and we will talk about the product that's in market. We'll use these feedback systems and this insight that we have to look at what's going on with the product in the market and the product that is under development. So what that means is, if you want to get feedback to us, the best channel by far is to do it through the feedback hub on Windows 10 on those builds. You can talk as much as you want to account managers in the field and the people that you know and people that are part of the community, but if you go into the feedback hub and upvote things or add new feedback, that is one of the primary signals that we look at and pay a lot of attention to. Those feedback items sometimes turn into bugs that get filed onto engineering teams to go fix things. So this is a critical channel. And it's important from an enterprise perspective as much as it's important from I'm a gamer perspective or whatever you might be interested in. I really, really emphasize that. And it's super important to sort of drive that point home. Okay, we do new builds and delivery systems. The insiders run the bits. And within a couple of days, we get the feedback and we monitor what's going on with these systems and if there's crash dumps and log files and all that kind of stuff. And then we iterate and then the cycle turns. Okay, ring theory. The stuff that's blue is internal to Microsoft. The stuff that's green is public. And what this essentially means is, this is the way we propagate code. And it's not dissimilar to the current branch and CBB. The current branch and the current branch for business is essentially an extension of this picture after the product has gone to release. But what ends up happening for us internally is, people will check in all their bits, we'll compile the product, it will go into what we call the canary ring. For those of you who are familiar with the canary in the coal mine, we compile the product, we build it, then we run a whole bunch of automated testing. The automated testing that we run runs on 2 NFL fields worth of machines to run through all that stuff. We typically get through it in about an evening or a night or so. And this is all of the, all of the unit tests, integration tests, a whole bunch of coverage that we run all the time on the systems, which you're always adding to as the product evolves. Then it gets automatically propagated to the canaries. The canaries are a few hundred people within the engineering team that have signed up to, you know, live on that edge because, you know, if something is dramatically wrong, you know, they're going to feel it. And at any point in time, if there's something up with the product and it's not viable for whatever reason, it kind of stops there. And then we fix things and we start with the next build that's corrected that stuff. So then there's a few hundred people in the canary ring. Then if we get to a certain level of release criteria, a certain level of quality, we call it ring promotion criteria. You know, what do you have to achieve in order to be promoted from one ring to another ring? That's when it enters what we call the self-host ring. The self-host ring is largely the engineering part of the Windows and Devices group. It's several thousand engineers and marketing people and product managers and those folks. We live on our bits. We live on our stuff. And, you know, this stuff happens, we push the button, we make the decision about going to self-host, but once that happens, that just flows down automatically through Windows Update. You know, the same mechanisms and channels that we use in the world is what we use internally. It's just that, you know, different people are opted into these rings. And the original picture of this basically had, once we went to the self-host ring, we used to go to the rest of Microsoft, and then we would go to Windows Insiders. We made a decision about a year or so ago, actually it was probably longer, that no, let's change that around. We get all this great feedback from our insiders. It's hugely valuable for us as an engineering organization, and we can get it a lot quicker and iterate quicker, so we changed around the rings. So, if you're part of the Windows Insider program and you're signed up to what we call the fast ring, which is analogous to Alpha, you get those bits before the rest of Microsoft gets those bits. You know, I think of the folks that are part of the Windows Insider fast ring as kind of an extension of our engineering team. Now, you know, it's not without danger. You know, sometimes there are things that don't work quite right. But it's essentially an alpha channel, it's alpha code. So, you know, like we put it out there. And you can sort of see the sort of the rough cadence of how often stuff goes to these people. Then we go to Microsoft. Then there is a sort of a safer place for insiders, which we call the slow ring, which is more analogous to beta quality. And we will even service that. We'll patch that if we need to. If there's something not working quite right, we'll make sure that our goal for that is for a large number of people to be able to run on their daily drivers and be able to sort of be running with the next release of Windows and be using that in a consistent way and trusting that enough, given that they're technical people. One of the things we also added into the program a little while back, this was probably about 6 to 8 months ago, was the notion of the release preview ring. The release preview ring is running the released operating system, right? So right now the anniversary update is in there, but the apps and some of the drivers are new. So if you wanted to see the latest for our 3D products, if you wanted to see where we're going with Groove and the Mail app and some of the other functionality in the product, you can live over here and it's, you know, you're running on released bits, but you're sort of getting, you know, you're getting to sort of have a look into some of the peripheral parts of the operating system and how they're doing. So as an insider, you have a bunch of choices. And to be honest with you, even if you're not an insider, you can still give us feedback on the released version of Windows. You can still use the feedback hub to send us a message around what's working, what's not working for you. Ring promotion criteria. What is this bar you speak of? And it's pretty much, how many people in general, it's, you know, how many people have actually deployed the bits? What is the reliability measure? We look at things like crashes. We look at scenario completion. We look at, kernel crashes, app crashes. There's a whole bunch of metrics that we sort of look at, which signifies our reliability criteria. Responsiveness. Have we messed something up from a performance perspective? It can happen. I mean, people checking code, sometimes, it takes a little while for that to be optimized and tuned. How is the battery life looking? Has something changed dramatically in the battery life? It's sort of interesting. You know, battery life for Windows is a very big deal for us nowadays. We think long and hard about, the Insider program and these products that we're sort of flooding out to the world. At the core of it, you know, they're the bits that everything is built off. The operating system that's running in the Surface Hub has at its core this thing we call OneCore. So anything that's impacting the battery life of that is going to have an impact of battery life across the field of devices that we've got. Even like HoloLens, for example, is built out of OneCore. Everything in Windows is built off this notion of this OneCore foundation of the operating system. And then it's basically got a personality that's built on top of it, which makes it a Surface Hub, or makes it a HoloLens, or makes it a Surface Studio, which is kind of running the same SKU. But battery life has become super important, and it's interesting because in the past we've all been about, you know, performance and going faster and all, and features and functionality. But, you know, us being able to sort of maintain your computing experience for as long as possible, especially with mobile devices, is huge for us today. It's one of the things that I personally spend a lot of my time on, just making sure that we rein that in. And you will see more from us, especially in the Creators Update around this part of Windows. Scenario completion, self-explanatory. Do things work? Are people making it through the product in the right way, the way we expect them to make it through? Compatibility, again, huge. Just a quick tidbit for those who didn't see the other session I was in the other day. Windows 10 is the most compatible operating system we've ever shipped. When you compare it to, you know, the ability for it to go from a down-level operating system to be upgraded and then for stuff to work. The compatibility effort for Windows 10 initially was hundreds of people for years of time. And it was a mix of, like testing in labs, it was a mix of telemetry, it was a mix of feedback in terms of apps and how they were working, and, you know, making sure that we were sort of working through and understanding all of the changes in the operating system and the potential impacts they had on the apps, those 20 million plus apps that were running in the world. As a quick side note, for some of you who might not have seen the session, we have a tool called Windows Upgrade Analytics, which is essentially using the same data set and process that we used to migrate Windows from Windows 7 to 8 and 8.1 to Windows 10, that you can use. It's a free tool that you can use in your environments, and it gives you the same visibility and view so that you can migrate and upgrade your environment very, very quickly to Windows 10, or at least hone in on the, here are the things you might have some challenges with. So, every time we make a decision to promote code from one place to another place, we look at the compatibility and what is the compatibility score telling us for this release. And then finally, we've got the subjective feedback and the feedback signal coming out of the feedback tool, as well as Twitter and a few other signals that we use to understand whether the product is ready for us to go to insiders. So we've got a bunch of bars. And then the decision is made. We, you know, you've heard this term Windows as a service. We run Windows as a service. We have a daily, every day at 2 p.m., we have a flight operations meeting where we look at all of the code. We look at these ring promotion criteria. We look at the state of our service. And we make decisions about, you know, what bits do we flight to what audiences? What are the issues? What are we going to, you know, what do we need to go run and manage? That is, I mean, like quite literally, that is Windows as a service. So, one of the engineering VPs built the button. His name is Gabe All. He used to be, you know, my partner in crime as part of the Insider team. He no longer is. But we had this, it was a physical button that he actually went and 3D printed and sort of made happen. But nowadays, you know, we've automated that whole thing. So we sit in the meeting and, you know, we've got a button, this virtual button, and I actually took a screenshot. And I almost, you know, funny story, I almost literally clicked this button. Then I realized, oh my God, I actually have the rights to do this. So, as I was trying to put this deck together, I almost sent 15027 to all of the insiders without any process and without really knowing what was going on. But anyway, don't tell the team, guys. Don't tell the team that I almost did that. So anyway, I got the screenshot and I managed to click on the cancel button, even though the voices in my head were telling me, push it, push it. Anyway, so then we sort of scheduled this thing, and as soon as we push that button, that's when all the code propagates to the CDNs. We program all the CDNs around the world, so that at that point in time, the build goes live, and then we accompany any of the insider flights with a blog post that Donna, sitting over here, authors. Say hello, Donna. Hi. Donna is the head of the insider program. She's the nice person that you all talk to and communicate. I'm the horrible boss that sits in the tower and gets angry. Anyway, and this is the button that we push, and that's how we basically send these things to the world. It is a service. We run it like a service. I won't spend too much time on this. The major point here is, you know, people ask me, well, how current are the bits you send us? And this is typically what a week looks like for us. Friday night, we get the final code check-ins. So that's 2,000 or so like devs checking code into Windows. They don't all check into the one place. We have a very deep, no, I shouldn't say very deep, but we have a branch structure where code propagates up through a tree into the main branches. All that stuff comes through by the end of day on Friday. And then we get to the point where we say build ready. That's when the whole thing has been compiled and we've run through that gamut of testing, that automated testing that I referred to before. Saturday afternoon, there's an auto promotion decision. So the system looks at the results of those tests, and there's an automated decision made around propagating the code into the canary ring. That happens during Saturday. Because the nice thing there is we get a couple of days over the weekend as people are sort of using their PC to deploy new bits to them, so that we by Monday morning we've got a decent population of machines that are out there that we can reason on Monday. There we go. Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock, we have a look at what's going on. If we're passing the release promotion criteria, the ring promotion criteria for going to the next ring, we make the decision, we push the button to go to the next ring. And that's the self-host ring. And then on Tuesday, we check in to sort of see how it's doing. Is there anything that would be a showstopper for us? Again, we're doing a quick test against that criteria. We've made that call, and then on Wednesday, if everything has gone well, we'll push it to the insiders. If you don't see a build on Wednesday, it's because we've done some different things and we've, used a new build, or we've looked for another candidate or something along those kind of lines. But, we work hard to try and get these things out on a weekly basis for the folks that are in that alpha state. And then, insiders run it for the next week or so, and then the process repeats again the next Friday. I've got a bunch of things in here around the canary builds go every single day, because we always want to have a pipeline of candidates coming through, because Windows builds every single day. Self-host builds, same sort of thing in the picture. So, some people also ask, it's like, well, what do these systems look like? Well, how do you run all this? And this is where we mixed up all the metaphors. We started off with flighting. The system that actually drives the flights to the world is literally called Control Tower. We were being funny somehow. It's like when you build a piece of software with a code name, the code name sticks, so now we have Control Tower as part of the infrastructure that Microsoft uses to release code. It's a real thing, and it's really cool, and it's super capable. And then when we decided to build the portal for our insight into this, into the flighting system for insiders, as well as our insight into the 400 million devices, we started using a space metaphor. So we called it mission control. That's a literal screenshot of mission control, and it kind of tells you things like, this is a pre-release view and sort of showing you, what part of the population is running on what, how long have these particular builds been in what ring, et cetera, and you can drill down. We also get to see, this is a view of the builds that are out in the world and how many of what are running in you know, in the population, so we get an idea of the strata of different builds in the population. We try and get this to be as common as possible. We want people to be as up to date as possible as well. That sometimes can be tricky because people's machines aren't always running, and your opportunity to sort of update them to the latest build can be hampered by some degree. We look for upgrade blockers as part of all of this. And this is another view which basically sort of shows you, I think this is the self-host ring, and it kind of shows you as we promote a new build, how quickly it sort of goes up and lands on that audience, and then when we push the button, we get the next one coming through. And we sort of see these patterns of builds sort of going on. But we also, once we've released something into the wild, and this applies for the pre-release product as well as the shipped product, and I think that's actually a super important point that I kind of want to drive home. You know, in many ways, Windows as a Service basically means that we're sharing the responsibility for the product. You know, with Windows 7 and Windows 8, when we shipped Windows 7 and Windows 8, we essentially handed those bits over. The main engineering team would hand them over to a different team for the care and management of those bits, and the main engineering team would move on to focus on the next release. The model we have today is more of a DevOps model, right, where we look at things like this. We have thousands and thousands of measures in the product which we look at, we have a set of people owning different areas, and they consider these as we make promotions and decisions around the product. I believe that this screenshot that you're seeing right now are some of the performance measures of the core user experience. And it's kind of interesting, you know, and what the comparison here is, you know, one build to the next build that we're considering. And you can see stuff like this. And that's, you know, basically what that tells us, this particular scenario, you know, window snap, when you take a window and you snap it against the side, what this scenario is basically saying is, based on the telemetry coming through, that something in that build changed. We added code into that scenario, which has actually regressed the performance of that particular operation. Now, it's green because it's still within the tolerance, right? You know, there's a goal against there saying the average has got to be less than 300 milliseconds across the whole population. And, you know, we regressed it by a millisecond or so. But when you think about it, there's thousands and thousands of data points behind this. We've got this fine-grained view of what's going on with the product. And this is the thing that we use to make decisions around flights, make decisions around, even when we're shipping the release to the world, we look at all of these statistics, and then we make decisions about which machines are going to get the new release. If there's a machine that's impacted or a particular class of hardware that's impacted, we will not send that to that device until we've rectified the problem. So this is essentially sort of the view that we have and the way we sort of drive a lot of these things. And this is, you know, this is actually not all of them, but these are some of the services that actually drive Windows as a Service. And you can sort of see there's probably some incidents there, and, you know, like, you know, we're running a service, right? So you've got to keep an eye on all of your services. So I've talked a lot about the Insider program and where we've been at. Many of you are IT pros. Many of you are part of the Insider program. I talked about this yesterday, but I want to reinforce the point that as part of Windows as a Service, as part of how we release product, it is really important to be in the Insider program and looking at the bits under development in your organization before we get to release. Because that, you know, if you've got a few machines set up in strategic parts of your organization, in core business units, and maybe the users of those machines are, you know, probably a little bit more technical than your average users, but they're still working through business functions, having those people running on those builds, getting an early warning signal that something isn't working quite right in your organization is super important to you, because you can tell us about that, and then we have an opportunity to go and remediate that before we finalize that release. Right? So, you know, so that's why we feel that, you know, it's super important to have some portion of the population in your devices running Insider builds. Now, one of the big announcements that we're doing today as part of the Insider program is that in the next couple of months, we are adding to the Insider program, and we are, you know, like calling this the Windows Insider program for business. And what this is us doing some work to make the Insider systems and capabilities more friendly and fit even better inside your corporate environments. You know, it's got to do with, you know, a more natural authentication scheme. We want people to have better support for the key scenarios that they want to run, which might require, you know, people to be logged on with corporate credentials versus running on a Microsoft ID or something along those kind of lines. So we've done the work to change what that looks like to allow you to opt your organization in and have a level of management control over those devices in your organization. And what we wanted to do today was, number one, announce the fact that we're doing this program. Number two, give you an opportunity, if you're interested, to, you know, get more information about it and sign up so that, you know, when we go to market, you can be one of the first ones to go and try this out or, you know, stay in touch with what we're doing with the program. So if you are interested, I highly recommend you go to aka.ms, WIP for IT pros. There's a short survey there. Please register your interest. We'd really like, you know, folks that are part of the existing Insider community to sort of jump in and learn more about this because, you know, for us, it's a critical part of the Windows as a Service experience and putting your corporation and your organization in the best possible state so that you can take the new builds. Okay. Some of the goals, we want more commercial insiders to be part of the program. We also want to do more work in terms of customizing the way we talk to this audience and the kinds of scenarios that we're focused on. You know, we really want to ensure that things that are critical in corporate and business environments are starting to show up. The feedback. One of the other things that comes as part of this is a special environment for folks that are part of this part of the Insider program so they have the choice of the feedback that they see is feedback from other IT pros. It's also sort of an interesting community effect too where you can upvote the things that are happening with another organization to sort of say, yeah, I've got that challenge too. I was trying to wire together this AD, you know, this AD join and use this particular management tool and that stuff didn't work. Well, you know, if there's a number of people experiencing that in that community, we want to know, we want to hear about things like that so that we can make sure that the product is right. And it's very much about supporting Windows commercial deployments. We just really want to make it really, really easy for people in the enterprise to be able to have a very streamlined way of updating your systems and adopting the new feature packs. The feature updates that we're sending out to the world. Our plans include feedback, forums, blogs, news events. We really want to set this up as an environment for people to sort of engage with and find other like-minded people that are part of the program too. There'll be some surveys. We'll also, give more commercial-oriented features and capabilities and information around the pre-release stuff that we're doing there, as well as we want to get more content out there around deployment. I think one of the other big things that I would like to see is what content do you as Windows Insiders for Business want to see from us? You know, like we get feedback from time to time around, hey, it would be great to have a deployment guide for X. For me, this channel is also important to understand your needs as a community around your deployments and your particular requirements in those spaces. That is the end of the content. These are some of the folks from the Windows Insider team, and we wanted to say thank you. I think we've got a little bit of time, so if you like, we can take some questions. Question. Okay, so the question was, what's the direction for the mobile component? of the Insider Program. We've been flooding mobile builds now for, actually since the November update in 2015. We do not plan to change that or to stop that. So, and you'll see, you know, today we are still flooding, mobile bits, subject to quality, subject to those release promotion criteria. But, and, you know, we fully expect to keep doing that beyond the release of the Creators Update. Hope that helps. Question. Sorry, I can't quite hear. How much is the... Okay, so let me paraphrase the question. How much does having like a diverse set of hardware out in the world, you know, like a myriad of devices, how much does it slow down our development versus something like, you know, like Apple, for example, which might have, you know, a small number of devices that are sort of well-known in terms of their components? I mean, look, you know, for sure there is some level of additional work that goes into, you know, shipping an operating system like Windows. We feel like that's an incredibly important part of the value proposition of Windows and the choice we want to give into the world. So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there is a tax. I don't think we've ever quantified the tax. It's systems like this. And actually, I should also add, one of the other things I didn't talk about that we do as well, we have a driver flighting system too. So our ISV partners, you know, to that vein, have the ability to go on to something called Dev Center, and they can post their new drivers, and then they go through a pre-release cycle as well, so that they get sort of, yeah, to that quality too. So what we end up doing is, we've got this choice, we've got all of these devices in the marketplace, we want you to be able to sort of say, hey, you know, I need a PC and I want touch and I want it to have this kind of processor and this kind of biometric authentication, and somebody else to say, you know, I need a Surface Studio because I want to do, you know, like a different set of tasks. So we want to be able to do all of that, and we want our third party partners to be able to help us along that way. So, you know, it's really a force multiplier for us. We want to bring our partners in to be engineering with us and leveraging our systems. And the driver flighting system that we open up to our IHV partners is a critical part of that, which gives them the opportunity to basically leverage the same set of systems that we have here for the base OS to understand their quality and if there's crashes in the community for their devices too. So yes, there's a tax, but it's a tax that we're, you know, more than willing to pay because it's a critical value proposition from a philosophical perspective for us. Question? Okay. I think your question was, look, do we see things in the release that we don't necessarily see in the Insider Program at times? Well, yes, that is the case. There are certain scenarios that are very sort of difficult to replicate. In fact, in some, you know, some of the reason for the Windows Insider for Business program is to sort of give us more visibility into some of these different environments. We are lucky in that we have a lot of insiders. So we typically, you know, we sort of see the signal. I mean, I think the bigger thing for me is we have the signal, but it's not amplified enough. And we invest a lot in terms of our data science and our big data systems so that, you know, we can do a better job of detecting those weak signals, which are from a unique part of the community. But for us, having more people that are part of the program basically sort of helps the job of amplifying their signals. Because sometimes you amplify the wrong signal and you go solve the wrong problem. But look, it's an insider program. You know, it tends to be, you know, professionals and technical enthusiasts, which, you know, we get a lot of coverage of a lot of the scenarios, but we don't get every single thing. So we look for the deltas between what the production retail audience is doing, and then we will compensate for those. And we will do other kinds of testing and validation on the stuff that we don't see strong coming through in the program. The commercial scenarios tend to be really complex, though. You know, you might have an Active Directory, and you might have, you know, some down-level file servers, and you've implemented SharePoint from a couple of versions ago, and that combination of things causes a problem. You know, it's hard to sort of see that in the noise. But yeah, thanks. Question? Will there be the ability to deploy insider builds through WSUS and Config Manager? Watch this space. TBD. But it's a fair piece of feedback. Question over here. Okay. So the question was, what can I share about the time frames for... You're using Redstone 3? So you're talking about the creators update or?
Sorry, yeah, we know about the creators update.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, in general, I mean, the stuff that we've gone out with is, you know, we look to achieve a cadence of two major releases a year, feature updates a year. And that is the path that we're on for 2017. I can't comment about what we're planning to do for next year. And that's also because, you know, the world changes, but that is, you know, that is our desire is to sort of do two updates a year. Let's do two or three more and then I can let people get going. Oh, maybe not. Well, thank you very much. We're all here. We're hanging around. If you have got some further questions, love to hear them. Thank you for your time.